Welcome to this Friday, January 7th. I'm Lori Boyer as we get started with my Ag Life Daily News Report here today. First up on today's show is Taylor Chalstrom with a report on wildfire smoke on pistachio orchards. You'll hear from him right after this.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
The duration and intensity of the fire season has increased due to increasing temperatures, earlier snow melt, reduced fuel moisture, and overgrown forests. The presence of smoke in the atmosphere as a result of wildfires can affect evapotranspiration and CO2 concentration in row crops and orchards, according to Kasana Suvakarov, a cooperative extension specialist in biometeorology at UC Davis. However, it is unclear whether the effect of smoke on pistachio orchards is negative overall. To know whether or not smoke is affecting evapotranspiration in pistachio orchards, levels of photosynthetically active radiation, or PAR, need to be taken and compared against the threshold for pistachio. In a 2020 study led by cooperative extension specialist Julia Marino, Marino and other researchers found that 800 ppfd is about the optimum threshold for PAR necessary for development of all three pistachio growth stages. Past this value, increases in photosynthetic activity in the tree are substantially less.
The smoke is when we can expect that there might be some important reduction in the photosynthetically active radiation received by the plants.
During the 2021 Pistachio Day virtual conference, Suvakarov explained that important reductions in PAR received by plants can occur during smoky days. However, she cited a 2020 study of different crops conducted during wildfire season between August and October in Davis and Corning, California, where she and researchers found that once smoke entered the area and lingered, PAR values dropped, but not enough to negatively affect pistachio orchards in the area.
During this last smoke episode in Davis, over the 2 months, we did measure photosynthetically active radiation. Although this is not in a pistachio orchard, it represents bigger area around Davis. And I can show you here around 2,000 micromoles per second per square meter we have before the smoke went. And then once the smoke entered the area and was lingering there for almost 2 months, we see that the values actually dropped, but not below this threshold mark in red for pistachio, only on 1 day of 50, 60 days that we had the smoke, only on 1 day we had a critical drop in photosynthetically active radiation, and it's not even below 600.
A study published in 2018 by Kyle Hems, a postdoctoral fellow at the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment, noted that taller, higher plant canopies actually benefit from smoke due to diffuse refraction of PAR.
Once we have a smoke, it doesn't mean that we will lose the total photosynthetically radiation amount, because we can lose the incoming one by blocking of these particles, but we have much more scatter. Some researchers say that this diffuse fraction, this scattered as it bounces between different particles, can reach some leaves that are normally shaded, and that can be beneficial actually, and that some taller canopies with a higher leaf area index might benefit more from this diffuse fraction. And then we talk about tall photosynthetically active radiation as that part that is incoming plus the part that is scattered around the atmosphere.
As for evapotranspiration and CO2 concentration, the effects are still being studied in pistachio. In 2020, between August and November in Tehama County almond orchards, CO2 concentration in ppm was measured directly and was observed to increase during smoky days, leading to changes in evapotranspiration.
There is some effect when we have direct measurements of ET, and CIMIS reference evapotranspiration is model after all. It's not such a direct measurement. But again, if we didn't lock enough light that is on light saturation curve for almond that I actually don't know, is then it should be less impactful and depends on stomatal regulation. Now, what I really wonder is in pistachio, where we have stomata on both top and bottom of the leaf, how is this smoke deposition that we all see in our gardens, in our car, is affecting, is it a physical barrier that maybe is affecting the gas exchange? And more importantly, how is this impacting the newly established orchard and if it will impact their development for the future?
UCCE Farm Advisor Emeritus Bob Beatty commented that there is also a reduction in evapotranspiration for pistachio of 15-20% during smoky days, depending on salinity as well as delayed maturity. So Vakara finished off by giving some final thoughts on how growers can manage their orchards in the wake of wildfire seasons, being that wildfire smoke is probably going to become a regular part of the season moving forward. Given the state of climate change in California, growers can expect to deal with this issue further.
There are sometimes problems with the smoke that it decreases ET, but if the growers are irrigating a lot in that period where less irrigation is needed, there are more problems of waterlogging or unused water.
Taylor will be back with information on next week's 2022 San Joaquin Valley Grape Symposium.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
And back we come here on the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Once again, Taylor Chalstrom joins us. He has a report on updates for next week's 2022 San Joaquin Valley Grape Symposium.
The 2022 San Joaquin Valley Grape Symposium is taking a bit of a turn. Originally scheduled to be in person in Easton, California next week on Wednesday, January 12th, the symposium is now being moved to a virtual presentation. UCCE Viticulture Farm Advisor George Duong explained the reasoning behind this difficult decision.
I think everybody is aware of the COVID and especially the Omicron situation in California. And well, it's pretty much all over the country. So, due to some health concern and the potential spreading of COVID, so we decided to move the in-person meeting of Grape Symposium to a virtual Zoom meeting. Yeah, and it's gonna be free to the public, and we're gonna have the same speakers and same topics covered by my colleagues from UC Davis and other UC branches. So it's going to be the same meeting, but we're just going to move them to virtual.
Important to note is that the symposium was originally going to have a $15 fee associated with it, but now that it's being moved to virtual, all attendees that pay the fee will be getting reimbursed.
So once we decided to change the meeting to virtual, and we decided to refund all the previous registered goers, and they should expect their refund in next to, 2 or 3 weeks due to the refund process. But they're gonna get automatically free registration for this virtual Zoom meetings. And for any future growers who want to come to the Zoom meetings, it's gonna be free, and they can either email me or call me, or just go to our UCC Fresno Viticulture website, and there should be a registration link there. Once you register there, you will get a link automatically response. So it's gonna be free, and I think it's probably gonna be easier and safer to reach out about more growers and audience.
Concerning the meeting itself, Zhuang explained what it has to offer to growers and consultants that will be attending.
So typically we will review what's the experience and what's the growing conditions from the past year, and pick out some key points or key challenges or opportunities from the past year, and offer a grower some solutions or kind of questions or answers to those issues in the past season. So that's typically how we organize this grape symposium. And there's no exception for this coming grape symposium next week.
Zhuang curated the agenda for the symposium specifically around issues that growers have been calling about often in the last year. He listed some of those and what the agenda will have to offer.
Climate change, the winter drought situation, the record heat in the summertime, and then we have talked about the DSG and the potential winter freeze damage on those vines. And that was the main reason we had a lot of farm calls in the last year talking about delayed spring growth and ultimately the reduction and the yield loss. So that was a big question mark from the growers. Asked exactly the same question, why and how we're going to prepare for that in the next time. So there's going to be a lot of discussion in this coming grape symposium. So we have a couple of speakers talking about how can we use a groundwater recharge to basically recharge the groundwater when we have such a wet winter like potentially this year. If we have a lot of rain, we can use those potential runoff of rains to recharge our groundwater base for those vineyard sites. So that's going to be preparation for the future winter drought. So that's going to be one speaker talk about groundwater recharge. Then we have another scientist from UC Merced talking about how that's going to be the potential models of a climate change in this valley, because we see last year was very dry in the winter, and this year so far seems pretty good. Nobody can tell in the next couple of weeks what's going to be in terms of the rains and in terms of the snow, but we saw this kind of dramatic change from year to year. So what's going that means for those farming industry, what's that going to mean for the growers? So that's going to be something interesting for the scientists to talk about potential climate change on the San Joaquin Valley agriculture, particularly the grape production. So what's something we can do in terms of those potential climate change conditions. So there are some interesting discussion, interesting points from different scientists. Then we have talking about how to manage water and how to using cover crops right now. So we try to pick up those timely topics during this time to help growers to deal with different issues, water, disease, cover crop, and soil health. And I think the biggest point from last year was how to be well prepared for the potential challenges like winter droughts and record heat in the summertime.
On the topic of water, there will be a talk at the end of the day for the symposium on groundwater recharge in vineyards by Dr. Helen Dahlke in the Department of Land, Air, and Water Resources at UC Davis. Zhuang said that this particular topic is of great importance as the water regulations from the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act loom in the state.
That's going to be an issue, right? In the future, there might be some limitation or restriction of how much water you can pump from the well. And then we have talked about the winter drought, right? So here's the thing. It's almost like a perfect storm, right? well, there's a limitation of how much water you can pump from the well. And then there's a potential less water, less rains, you know, due to the drought situation or climate change. So basically it's a double kill situation, right? So, and groundwater recharge has the potential to basically, you know, use the potential wet winter, like potential this year, to recharge the groundwater base. So basically you're gonna use your farm as a storage for water in case you're gonna have some wet winter or very stormy season like this year. You can use a potential runoff to basically use your farm as a reserve in case the following year is gonna be very dry. You still have some backup. You know, not every year has the same, you know, soil type or same filtration rates. So, you know, how if you put a lot of water there, how does water going to move to the ground base? And what exactly the water you're going to charge there? How much, right? That's going to be a lot of question there. Besides, you know, if you flood the whole vineyard for like, for example, 1 or 2 months, is that going to be any negative impact there for, you know, potential disease production or any kind of, you know, a consequence? There's just a lot of things we still don't know. That's the reason why, you know, there's still a lot of talks on the groundwater recharge, but we really put the trigger. We still need to do some research on that to figure out, you know, how much is going to be the benefit and what's going to be the cost of doing this kind of practice. That's exactly, I think Helen had a research project here in Fresno, I think actually for 2 years so far. So it'd be interesting to see her update in terms of, you know, what's going to be the result from his her 2 years project on groundwater recharge.
Additionally, the Grape Symposium will be offering continuing education credits for attendees.
Yeah, so we're going to offer like a 1 hour PCA credits. So that's going to cover like, you know, PCA units or the private applicator license. And then we're going to have 3.5 hours for CCA. So it's already approved. So once you come to the meeting next Wednesday, after finish the meetings, of course, once we do the virtual, you have to get some quiz questions during the meetings and get the final exams. So, but once you pass that, you should get your credits, PCA and CCA, after the meeting.
A regional agricultural news update right after this word from our sponsor.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
In regional agricultural news, the AgTech X Ed Summit is coming up on January 26th at Imperial Valley College. The event will feature three panels covering topics, including industry issues and skill identification, education and workforce development strategies, and current and future workforce needs on a farm. The event is part of the AgTech X Ed Initiative, which is a statewide effort led by Western Growers and California Department of Food and Agriculture Secretary Karen Ross to cultivate a future workforce with the skills and knowledge needed to navigate emerging on-farm technology. Registration is currently open on the Imperial Valley College website. The challenges of the past couple of years have hit some harder than others. Pear growers, for instance, say the 2020 to 2021 crop was a fairly short crop, but positive since transportation was limited. But then, Pear Bureau Northwest President Kevin Moffitt says more challenges are on the way.
So by the time we ended up with our crop harvest, which started in August of 2021, we had just finished the last year. The heat had hit, but it had cooled down. And so overall, we ended up with a crop that's probably sizing up well in terms of fruit size, and it's just above a four-year average crop.
He says the better-than-expected profits took the edge off of some of the costs.
To a certain degree, yes, the cost has probably in some cases doubled for freight transportation costs, and it's gotten worse over the summer and into the fall. And so right now with the containers, it's partly getting actually enough containers availability. So it's not even the cost, but even getting that container available to not only go overseas, but to drive across the country and domestically.
And that, Moffitt says, will undoubtedly impact the coming year.
So prices on the transportation continue to go up. So we need to have a better price for the fruit in order for that grower to continue to make money.
Moffitt thinks the prices are starting out well and seem pretty stable and are making up for some of the extra cost, but the costs are still going up. According to OrganicProduceNetwork.com, January will be an excellent time to get behind a variety of premium snacking organic apples and organic apples for juicing and smoothies. Promotional opportunities are available for January on the popular Organic Envy and Opal apple varieties. Organic Cosmic Strip, Panada, and Sugar Beet apples are also winners for the snacking enthusiasts. One challenge affecting organic apples is the expensive freight rates and lack of track availability loading in Washington. Organic greens, cabbages, bok choy, leaf lettuces, and more from Florida are in peak production in time for diet season. Quality is outstanding. Demand has increased as consumers look to refill their refrigerators with healthier options to start the year. Organic romaine hearts and iceberg lettuce from Southern California are in stable supplies. Pricing and supply volumes are expected to remain stable through January. Coming up tomorrow, I will update you on tomatoes, peppers, citrus, salads, celery, and freight rates in general.
The My Ag Life Daily News Report continues right after this. The Musco Family Olive Company is leading the transformation of the table olive industry. We are committed to the California olive grower and invite you to grow with our family. Modern table olive orchards apply newly perfected state-of-the-art planting and harvesting to one of the world's oldest tree crops for proven superior results. There is opportunity in any crop transition, and Musco is proud to offer long-term contracts and free trees to our grower partners. Visit us at the Agro Malora booth at the upcoming Calusa Farm Show and the World Ag Expo. See you there.
Farmers and people in rural areas are more comfortable discussing stress and mental health challenges. The stigma around seeking help or treatment for mental health issues is decreasing, but a new American Farm Bureau Federation research poll says it's still a factor. Farm Bureau has been encouraging conversations to help reduce the stigma around farmer stress and mental health through their Farm State of Mind campaign, according to Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall. He says the poll shows that they're making a difference, but there is still work to do. Among the poll responses, 4 in 5 rural adults and 92% of farmers and farm workers say they'd be comfortable talking with family and friends about solutions to stress or mental health conditions. The number of farmers and farm workers who are comfortable talking to friends and family has grown 22% since April of 2019. However, 59% of respondents say the mental health stigma is still there.
The latest Purdue University Ag Economy Barometer has been released for the month of December. This is a tool that is used to gauge farmers' sentiment about the health of the agriculture economy. Ag economist Jim Minter says that the latest barometer shows that farmers' sentiments are higher.
I'm Jim Minter, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. The Ag Economy Barometer rose 9 points this month to a reading of 125, up from 116 last month. And the rise in the barometer was driven mostly by an improvement in the index of current conditions. The index of current conditions rose from a reading of 128 last month all the way to 146 this month, as producers felt better about what was taking place on their farms currently. The Farm Financial Performance Index also rose to a reading of 113. That's up 7 points compared to last month when it was a reading of 106. There was a 6-point rise in the percentage of producers expecting better financial performance on their farm, and the percentage expecting no change actually fell by 5 points this month. The Farm Capital Investment Index rose 10 points to a reading of 49 compared to 39 last month, and the percentage of producers expecting to reduce their machinery purchases in the upcoming year actually declined 6 points compared to a month ago. However, 45% of producers in this month's survey still say that purchase plans for farm machinery are being impacted by low machinery inventory levels. Producers continue to express some reservations about what's going to take place in 2022. For the second month in a row, we asked producers what their biggest concerns are for the 2022 crop year. 47% of the producers in this month's survey said higher input costs are their biggest concern looking ahead. In a follow-up question, we again asked producers by how much they expect to see farm input prices rise in 2022 compared to the prior year. 39% of the producers in this month's survey said they expect to see farm input prices rise by 30% or more in 2022. That's an unprecedented increase in farm input prices. This month, we asked a couple of additional follow-up questions with respect to crop input purchases. 39% of the producers in this month's survey said they had had some difficulty purchasing crop inputs for the 2022 crop year. We followed up and asked them which crop inputs have they had the most difficulty purchasing, And the answers were quite widespread, ranging from fertilizer, farm machinery parts, insecticides, to even herbicides. The long-term farmland value expectation index declined a little bit this month to a reading of 152. That's the second month in a row that farmland value expectation index has declined. However, the index remains above 150, and it's been above 150 consistently going back to the tail end of 2020. Despite some of the concerns producers have expressed about the 2022 crop year, corn and soybean producers continue to expect higher farmland cash rental rates. In this month's survey, 51% of the producers said they expect to see higher farmland rental rates in 2022 versus 2021, and that's up significantly compared to October, when just 43% were expecting higher farmland cash rental rates in 2022.
Purdue University ag economist Jim Minter. An interview with the California Food and Agriculture Department coming up right after this. Let your bees carry a beneficial biofungicide directly to flowers and reduce brown rot, blossom blight, and jacket rot. Sign up for a field trial of bee vectoring and the biofungicide Vectorite with CR7 on your almond orchard. Deadline is January 15th for setup and use at the start of your February bloom. Email contact at beevt.com.
I'm Lori Boyer, and today I check in with Carolyn Cook. She is the Senior Supervisor Scientist with the California Department of Food and Agriculture. And today we talk about the Water Efficiency Technical Assistance Program.
The WETA program is a new program in our office. Our Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation is fairly new in CDFA, and a lot of what we do is provide incentives, so grants to farmers and ranchers for practices that provide benefit to the environment. WETA is a little bit different in that it's a grant program for technical assistance providers who can then provide their services to farmers and ranchers throughout California. And we received a one-time appropriation for WETA. So it was $5 million as part of the drought and water resilience package in the fiscal year budget, 2021-2022. So I'm very excited about the program because it really complements a lot of the other activities and some of the other incentive programs in our office. And definitely we have heard that technical assistance for water efficiency and nutrient management, which is also included in the program, are a great need right now. When we're in drought, we have SGMA coming to full effect, where farmers have to balance their water withdrawals from groundwater with what's available. We hope it's going to be really helpful. And there's really three primary objectives. Technical assistance providers can apply for funds for any of these activities. The first being to provide one-on-one technical assistance to farmers with their irrigation and nutrient management system. So some folks would call this like a mobile irrigation lab. Providers can go out to farms, measure distribution uniformity, and work with farmers on recommendations to improve the efficiency of their systems. And then the second objective that's being covered by the program is related to pumps. So providers can either pay for a pump efficiency test for farmers, or technical assistance providers can get the equipment needed to provide those directly. And that's really important and has some synergy with some of our incentive programs that do require farmers to have a pump efficiency test. So we've heard that's a need. And then the last objective covered by WETA is just training generally. Training to farmers and ranchers in groups, in persons, on-demand webinars, all kinds of things like that. So providers can develop a curriculum and then provide that and related to water efficiency, but also nutrient management. Yeah, so that's sort of a synopsis of the program, although I haven't shared who's eligible, and that's a really key part.
Let's talk about that. Who's eligible?
Okay, who's eligible? So resource conservation districts, which are pretty active in this type of work already, nonprofit organizations. So an organization that would apply for this funds would need to demonstrate their qualification. So it's just not just any nonprofit organization, but there does need to be a nexus to this type of work. And then universities. So University of California, community colleges, and California State Universities can all apply. And it's a $500,000 award that they can apply for.
And the deadline to apply for a WETA grant is on January 19th. For more information, you can visit the Colorado Department of Food and Agriculture website. And once again, Carolyn Cook, Senior Supervisor Scientist with the California Department of Food and Agriculture, my guest here today.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That wraps up today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer from all of us at the JCS Marketing team. Thank you for listening.